Appreciate those songs that were led this morning, both before and the ones here. As is always, as we sing not only songs of praise and high honor and glory to our Heavenly Father, but it is also of admonition and encouragement to one another, a teaching to one another. As is our lesson, our second part of our lesson today. And that is continuing with the responsibilities. Not only are we responsible to God and to Christ and to the church, but we're responsible to one another, to others around us. Whenever we consider the responsibilities, we are responsible, just as the early apostles were, of teaching. Teaching to the lost, teaching to the erring, and teaching and admonishing one another. In Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, we find there, as Jesus instructed his disciples there, that they were to go out and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And once they had baptized them through their faith and belief in God, then they were to teach them to observe all things whatsoever the Lord had commanded them. We too today still continue with that teaching effort. It is our responsibility to continue in that teaching. If you recall, the person that may have taught you and sat down and took the time to teach you the gospel, as I recall when I was taught of the faith that is in me, how that it came from one soul who took that time to sit down and discuss God's will with me. We too need to teach others. We find Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 there, as Paul is instructing this young man, and one of the things he said was, the things that you have heard and seen of me, he says, commit them to faithful men also who may teach others. As we continue in our progress, in our becoming stronger and more mature in our faith, part of our way of doing that is by learning and studying God's Word and to obtain more knowledge of God's will. And as we do so, we need to be like as Paul is instructing Timothy. Find others also that we can instruct, that we can teach, so that this teaching and this knowledge of God's Word can be given unto others. You know, one of the things I've always said is, you know, one of the greatest gifts of all, and we're coming into a season now where people's minds are on that of giving. And one of the greatest thing I would say that we could give anyone would be the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sharing with them what we have learned. And this is a great responsibility unto each and every one of us, is to teach others. We also need to recognize that from time to time there is going to come those who have been overtaken in their faults, who have become unfaithful unto God, who in some way and some means have become not as strong as they should be. Their faith has been weakened. It's been shaken in some way. Some look at that and they say, well, that's their problem. They've got themselves into that hole. Let them dig themselves out. But notice here, the responsibility is not on them. It is on us. As we recognize in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, you which are spiritual, who are faithful, restore those who are weak. And notice again, attitude in the spirit of meekness. We are responsible for one another and looking out for the not only the physical well-being of one another, but more importantly, the spiritual well-being of one another. Now this means that we need to get to know one another. You know, of this congregation here, from what I can see and what I witness, is that this is a closely knit congregation where you know one another, you're acquainted with one another, you know the strengths and the weaknesses of one another. And this is a good quality to have in a congregation if it's going to be strong. But I've been in congregations and I've visited congregations where members were not very strong in this area. They weren't very familiar with one another. There was not too much they did outside of the worship service with one another. In fact, they did very little at all with one another. And in that case, we don't know the weaknesses or the strengths of one another. So continue doing the things you're doing. Be strong. Know what one another's weaknesses are. Help one another. Continue to build up one another, encourage one another as we are instructed. This is a responsibility we have. We are to exhort and encourage one another. And you know, one of the things that we find in Ephesians there and also in Galatians, it talks about our singing. And one of the things that we do when we sing to one another is to teach and admonish. It is a teaching tool. It is not only our songs of praise to God, but it is teaching one another. In Hebrews 10 and verse 24, we used this reference earlier on here in the lesson. And let's go back to that just for a moment and notice there what the writer says there in Hebrews 10 and verse 24. He goes and says here, he says, let us consider one another. And here's what he wants us to think about when we think about one another. When we consider one another, he says, I want you to think about the thoughts of how can I stir up love and good works in my brothers and sisters. What is it that I can do to stir up your love, your faith, your commitment unto God, and your faithfulness? How can I stir up in you good works? One thing is by my example, how I live my life. Not the do as I say, not as I do, but do as I do. As Paul made mention several times to the Christians, he said, be ye followers of me as I am of Christ. In other words, if you're going to follow my example is according to Christ. He's giving Christ the glory. He's not boasting of himself. And we too need to be doing the same thing. Looking out for the well-being of others in our faithfulness to one another. In the latter part of verse 25 there, it says, exhort one another and so much as the more as you see the day approaching. There may be a brother or sister in Christ who is not as faithful as they should be to worship service. Maybe there's some means that they're not coming to Bible classes as they should. What is my responsibility? It's to look out to see what is hindering them from doing so. What can I do to assist in helping them to see the importance of these times that we need to be in our studies and in our worship? We find these to be very important in all these things. In Hebrews 3 and verse 13, again there it says, there exhort one another daily. Daily. Not just here and now, but daily, he says. My responsibility is to love others. This is not just in kind words. Sometimes people think that's a demonstration of love. Well, if I just say something kind to them, that's it. That's all that's involved. Just say something kind and not worry about them at all. That's not my responsibility. That's not what love is. You know, Paul gives us the attributes of love in 1 Corinthians 13 there. He tells us what love truly is. How many of us can truly say that we've mastered in love? Love is a learning subject. Love is something that we need to grow in and continually grow in. In John 15 and verse 12 there, we find there that the Lord says, this is my commandment that you love one another. Now, how much should I love you? He says there, as I have loved you. Now, how much did Christ, let's just think of that for a moment. How much did Christ love me? Well, let's think about that. He gave his life for us, did he not? He gave up his life so that I might live. He did the very same for you. This is how much Christ demonstrated his love. He gave of himself. Class this morning was a discussion of that. Of how not being selfish and not looking out for my own well-being, but looking out for the well-being of others before myself. This is what Christ did. And Jesus says, this is my commandment. Now, we just said earlier that if we love Him, what does He say? He says, keep my commandments. So in doing so, I've got to love others as Christ loved me. I want us to think about that very strongly, because that is my responsibility. We just talked about we sung the song about family. I love that song. I can't lead it at all, but I love that song. It has so much meaning and so much emphasis on family. And it is so important. And as we look into God's will, God has there's responsibilities for everyone in the family according to God's will. We look at the idea of parents toward their children. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 there, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. But instead, he says there, the responsibility is I'm to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It is the parents' responsibility here, and particularly the fathers, to make sure that the children are taught of God. In the Old Testament, it was told there of the patriarchs that they were to teach them daily the fundamentals of God's will. How many of us in our homes can truly say that our children witness us praying unto God? How many of our children can say, oh, I've seen my mom and dad read out of their Bibles many times, studying God's Word? How many times as families have we sat around the table not to eat dinner? Very few do that even anymore. But sit around the table and study God's Word as a family, teaching our children the principles of God and how they should live their lives in the will of God. I have a responsibility to my children. I have a responsibility to my spouse. As husbands and wives, we have responsibilities. We used Ephesians there, chapter 5, in verses 22 through 23 earlier, and we notice there again, it talks about their wives are to be in submission to their own husbands as to the Lord. Husbands are placed in a position of headship in the home. It's not that this is God's will, that it be established this way. This is the principles that God has established. The husbands are the head of the wife as Christ is the head of this church. And it goes on to say there that husbands are to love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We are to love our wives with every bit of our being. We're to give up our lives for our wives, willing to sacrifice whatever it is for our wives, and our wives to be in full subjection unto their husbands. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, when it talks about other responsibilities, we find there that Paul makes mention of this in 1 Corinthians 7 there. And notice with me here in this particular passage of what is being here in verse 7. And we'll just begin with verse 1. It says, concerning the things of which you wrote to me, here the church, they wrote unto Paul, they were concerned about this area here, and so they wrote unto him, and so he returns the response unto them, and he says, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. In our world today, the morality in our world is nothing. There's no good morals in the world, as we can look into God's will and recognize it. But he says, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. One of the responsibilities he's about to open up unto us here is those responsibilities of a husband to his wife and the wife unto her husband, as the affections are due to her, and likewise the wife's affections are due to her husband. In other words, they are commanded by God. What is this to keep from happening? Sexual immorality. A lot of the sexual immorality we have in our world today is because of husbands and wives not fulfilling the responsibilities that they should have in the home. That's why there are so many affairs, so many divorces in our courts today. Not the only reasons, but one of. The wife, it says here, does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, even the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. But then, once that, he says, come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. These are responsibilities that husbands and wives have to one another. Husbands are to provide for them. We find, going back to the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, one of the things that was given unto the man there was that he was to, by the sweat of his brow, was to go out and to fulfill the responsibilities and support unto his family. We're to work. I don't know about the rest of you, but that's one of the things I don't like to do it, but I am commanded by God. I have a responsibility unto my family. That I've got to provide support to my family, I've got to provide for the needs of my family, and thusly I go to work. This is commanded by God. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, we find there that if a man does not provide for his own, he is denied the faith. And it says he is worse than an infidel. Why? Because he does not provide for his own. I've known men that refuse to work. And their wives are forced to go out into the work field and work to provide for their families. Families are all messed up. The children are not getting the proper love and care of the mother because the mother's out working. Let's face it, men weren't made in that category. We love our children, but when it comes to that nurturing and that security and that time whenever the child hurts themselves, the best one for it is the mother, is it not? But so many times we find the mothers are not there to provide because they're having to take the place where the husband is supposed to be. Husbands are to provide for them. That is the responsibility that we have. Then we think about the responsibility to self. We close with this thought. We think about everyone else. Whenever it comes to God's Word, a lesson is preached, or in a class where a lesson is being taught, and we focus our minds on, wow, I hope so-and-so is listening to this lesson because this is one lesson they really need. And we think of everybody else but self. This is one area where we need to be thinking about self. This is one area where it is not selfish to understand that I am responsible to myself. Notice here, I am to take heed to self and doctrine. That is one of the important thoughts that Paul gave unto Timothy there in 1 Timothy. And notice with me what he has to say unto him here. Timothy was a young man and a lot of instruction. And we find here, it says, he talks about him being young here in verse 12. He says, don't let anybody despise your youth. But instead, he says, be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. See, I'm responsible for all these areas of myself. I am responsible to make sure that I am a proper example. And Paul goes on to say, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He says, don't neglect the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. And then he goes on to say in verse 15, meditate on these things, give yourself entirely to them, the teachings of God. Give yourself entirely to them. I'm responsible for that. That your progress may be evident to all. In other words, your growth. I am responsible for my growth. No one else is responsible for that. No one else can force me to grow. I willingly am responsible for that. He goes on to say there in verse 16, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. I can't obtain salvation on the shirt tail of my parents or of anyone else. And we're going to look at that in a moment here. But I need to take heed to myself and to the doctrine of which God has given me. I've got to understand that I'm responsible for examining myself. I talked there a moment ago about how we're always pointing the finger at everybody else. And how I'm looking at, all right, this so-and-so needs to be doing this and they need to be doing that. What about myself? There's always room for improvement in each and every one of us. And so we find here that that is exactly what Paul is talking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We find here that Paul has this to say whenever we look at this. In chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, he says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith." And not only examine, but he says you need to test yourself. He goes on to say, do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But Paul says, I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Examining and testing ourselves. Now it's important to understand that if I'm going to examine myself, I need to have the proper tool to do so. Well, in 2 Timothy 2:15, study, show thyself approved unto God. What better tool than the God's Word than I have to examine myself with? I compare myself with God's will. As the writer of James says, it is a mirror, a reflection of myself. When I read God's Word, I should see a reflection of myself. Is it according to God's will? If it's not, I need to make adjustments in my life. I'm responsible for that. These are the things that I am responsible for. We find that in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, he simply says there that I am responsible for working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. And again, according to God's will. Working out, making a diligent effort to work out my salvation. I should also be concerned about others, but recognizing that I myself am responsible for my salvation. These are the thoughts that I wanted to share with you today. Recognizing that my responsibility as a child of God, as a Christian, goes much further than just to God alone. My love to God, my responsibility to God in following His commands, my responsibility to Christ and His will. And again, my responsibility to the church and what is required of me there. And then to recognize, too, that I have my responsibility to others, to my family, and also to myself. Great responsibilities comes with those who grow in the Lord. And we need to fulfill those responsibilities in order to be pleasing in the eyes of God. Once again, you have another opportunity to obey the gospel in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through His blood that He shed, He offers a hope of eternal life unto each and every one of us. And once again, if there is sin in your life, don't leave here today with that sin remaining. When we commit sin, we separate ourselves from God. Our relationship is hindered. And there's no greater relationship than what relationship we need to have with God. God is there for us. God cares for us. God is instructing us in how to live our lives so that we can have that home in heaven. All we have to do is follow His will. Do as He says. Commit myself unto Him. Submit unto Him. And I will have that home in heaven. Whatever your needs are, we hope and pray you will come forward while together we stand and sing the invitation song.